Well, good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
All right. It is great to see y'all. Thank you for being here and prioritizing this time to dig into God's Word. It is always worth it, no matter what the day held, no matter the resistance to get here. It's always worth it to press, because there's always a blessing in the pressing, and you will find that throughout life, and many of you can already testify to that being true, that God does what he does in moments when it seems to be the most resistance. So excited about tonight. So just one little personal thing for us in our own life. So little Nashy turns one tomorrow. Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy. Does this sound last year that my wife was with child, and it was perfect because Christmas was coming up. You know, we had Nash, and if y'all remember last year, he was a sermon prop for me. Y'all remember that? Yeah, so I had him up there. We had the stable, and I was holding him, and that was pretty cool. And I think somebody was like, yeah, that's the epitome of being a preacher's kid. It's fresh out the womb. You're already on stage and being used in a sermon illustration. So, yeah, so he's turning one tomorrow. So this message tonight, this is one I wish the entire church could hear. And you guys are here, so you get to witness it firsthand. And it's going to be recorded. But this particular topic, don't put it up yet. There we go. Never mind. So it is about bitterness, all right? So I get this question along the lines of bitterness. How do I deal with it? I'm struggling with it in my life and just need some insight and direction. And this is one of the messages that it's going to be tight, but it's going to be right. And it's going to challenge us because bitterness isn't one of those things that everybody can just see. Now, if you go into a place where there's elderly folks, you go into a nursing home and you can see somebody humped over and looking mad, and you can go, well, yeah, it looks like some bitterness might have affected them because of the way they look, but within life and interaction with other people, bitterness is something that is can be very hidden. You can disguise it very well, except in certain scenarios and situations to when you get pushed to where what is in you comes out of you. But this whole topic of bitterness, the Bible addresses it in Hebrew and other places, but I want to talk about uprooting the root of bitterness. Now, when it comes to weeds do not require intentional sowing. You can talk to Rod about this, right? If any of you have ever had a flower bed, if you just go get perfect potting soil and you build you a bed and you got it raised and everything else and you come back in a couple of weeks and you're like, whoa, how did this happen? There are weeds everywhere. And here's the crazy thing. Even when you pull the weeds, those weeds have some supernatural way of multiplying. And I can't explain it. It just happens. And you have to continually uproot the weeds. If you go and you mow down the weed or you chop the weed, it might look good for a couple of days, but it's coming right back. And that's the idea of bitterness. It's not that it's intentional things that you do, and it does happen over time, but bitterness itself can creep into your life and can creep into your heart, and before you know it, there's this deep root system that goes way down in the ground, and the threat or the problem is in our lives, in my life, is that I want to prune back the bitterness, the thing that shoots through the ground. I want to tame it. I want to prune it. Maybe even cut it. But there's only one way to deal with it, and it's to uproot it. That's the only way. And so we're going to look at that tonight, and we're going to look at God's Word. It's no accident that God uses this image of a weed to describe a particular sin of bitterness that can be in our hearts. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12, we'll start in verse 14. We'll do verse 14 and 15. At the end, we're going to break up into some small groups. Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 14 and 15. Pray for us. Father, we thank you for the word tonight. God, I pray that you would speak to your people. God, make it plain. Make it clear. God, make it real. Jesus, this is your word, and I just stand here to convey it and to deliver it. God, may we engage with it, and may we just see the grace that is found in you, Lord, that we have obtained by your mercy. And so, God, just have your way tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So Hebrews 12, starting in verse 14, it says, strive for peace with everyone. Strive for peace with everyone. Now, not everyone's going to make that easy, but he says to strive for it. That's your job. Strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Verse 15, see to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God. That no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. Now, the Bible has a really unique way of phrasing things. So this image of this root of bitterness. Now, when it says, see to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, it's this idea of you being with a group of people, and it's a long journey and someone lagging behind, someone not obtaining the end goal, which is to reach the finish line. See to it that you don't fail to obtain the grace of God, meaning that if you allow this root of bitterness, and there's two different categories here. There's one for the non-believer, that this bitterness can actually keep you from Christ. It can keep you from coming to Christ, from coming to salvation in Jesus. If you are wrapped up in bitterness, it can keep you from attaining the grace that is found in Christ. But there's also a warning to the believer that it will limit you in your life. It will limit you from being effective and being healed and being free in certain ways because you've allowed this root of bitterness to go deep into your heart. And he says, by it many become defiled. So we have to tonight take bitterness seriously. Bitterness is not, like I said it earlier, it's not one of those big flashy things or big flashy sins that we can see growing above the surface. It may not show off like anger does. Right? It might not show off like the fruit of disobedience does. Bitterness is kind of like a sleeper sometimes. It grows beneath the surface, down deep in the soils of our hearts. But the author's warning in Hebrew is very, very clear. That bitter root will one day sprout. When it does, many will become defiled. In other words, if that bitter root keeps growing, there's going to be a harvest that takes place. It's a harvest of pain for you. For the people in your world, for the folks that are around you. And bitterness tends to be a very weedy sin as well. It burrows in our hearts. The way you get rid of it is not by simply cutting off the behaviors. Cutting off the behaviors. We need something that only God can give to yank that thing up by the root. Only God can give. Now, with bitterness, let's talk about kind of where it comes from or where it originates. And it can be manifested in many different ways. It can come from many different angles. Oftentimes, it's this feeling that others owe you something. That there's something you did not get that you deserved from an individual, and they didn't give it to you, and you believe that they owe it to you, whatever it is. It could be love. You felt you deserved love. It can come from a parent, from a spouse, even from a parent-child relationship. And you feel they owe you that and you didn't get it, and there's this root of bitterness that is taking place. This bitterness, most of the time, is tied up in unforgiveness. Bitterness can be also be tied up in a feeling that God has somehow let you down. There is bitterness that we can have towards God, that you let me down in this scenario. This was supposed to happen, or this person wasn't supposed to leave me, or this person wasn't supposed to die, or I was supposed to get this position or this job, and God, you're responsible for it. So these roots of bitterness take place in your heart because you feel like God has somehow let you down. It can be manifest in all types of ways. But Scripture gives us an interesting glimpse of this. And what the angle that Scripture gives us about bitterness is that bitterness travels amongst a pack of other things. Ephesians 4, mark that down, or you can turn there if you want. Ephesians 4 tells us about the pack that bitterness travels in. Ephesians 4:31, it says, "Let all bitterness and wrath," there's one of the buddies, "and anger," another one of the buddies, "clamor," which means harsh words, that's another one, "and slander be put away from you, along with all malice." Five different things that's traveling alongside bitterness. And so when you're examining your heart, trying to see, okay, is there bitterness here? Let's look at the buddies that are accompanied with bitterness. Is there anger there? When you think about that individual or that certain thing or scenario, does anger get kindled up inside of you? Is wrath ignited inside of you? Harsh words. When you think about that person or whatever it is, what are the thoughts that come to mind? What are the feelings that you feel? You might say, "Well, I'm not bitter. I'm just angry." Well, according to this, they travel together. Also malice. Also harsh word. Also slander. Now, Paul, he's describing this cluster of emotions here that come along with bitterness. Bitterness, it almost always travels in this group, and bitterness is taking root in my heart. Usually wrath is as well. Same goes for anger. The same goes for slander. The same goes for malice. And these emotions, you'll find, are really kind of a progression that tends to happen. Because if we don't deal with bitterness, that bitterness is going to progress towards some type of anger. Right? If we don't deal with the anger, then we start to get into harsh words and things that we say to ourselves about that individual. If that doesn't work, then we start to talk bad about the object of our bitterness or the individual. And sometimes it gets to the place to where you're hoping to recruit others on your side to get them to agree with you about the bitterness you feel towards the other individual. Because what you want them to say is, "Yeah, you're right. I feel the same way. You're in the right on this. You should feel that way." Because that's going to make you feel better when you can get folks to join up with you on your side and advocate for you to feel this way. And if all that goes unchecked, we will eventually have a desire to cause harm to the person or just be super bitter. It can get to the place to where you will literally say, "I wish that person didn't exist anymore." Like if they were non-existent, that would take care of the problem. If they were no longer here, then that would take care of the problem. But if we can be honest tonight, there are people who are no longer here that we are still bitter toward, that we still carry malice in our heart toward folk who have been dead for 20 years. Because it's deeply rooted. It's not just a simple emotion or feeling. Bitterness takes root. And we still feel those things, even though that person is long gone, but we still have this bitterness because that's what it does. It takes root. And here's the thing, all along the way, there are things that are robbed from us, that are stolen from us, folks around us that are hurt. We can't move forward with relationships we have because the ones that hurt us are hindering us. Relationships get derailed. Your joy is stolen. There's no growth. The fruit of the Spirit has been stunned because of the root of bitterness. It's serious. serious. So what I'm going to give us is four ways to kind of spot a bitter root, four ways to spot a bitter root. There's so much on the line, and it's very wise to ask ourselves often, am I bitter? Am I bitter? And here's the thing, when you ask yourself that question, you got to be honest with yourself. You got to have an honest evaluation. Because you might say, nah, I'm not bitter, I just don't like her. Well, that sounds a lot better than saying you're bitter, right? But what's the truth? What's the truth? And so there's got to be an honest evaluation. You know, why? Why do I not like him? Why do I not like her? Why do I still have this, when I think of that person, I still get these feelings in my heart. Why? Ask yourself, why? Why do I feel this way? And since bitterness can be sneaky, it's not always obvious why. And that's why it's good to have wise counsel in your life, because you ask that person that knows you and that knows the feelings you feel about that certain person, talk to them. And be honest and say, listen, like when I think about this person, I just struggle. It's hard for me. And ask them, why do you think it's hard for me? And they buckle up, because they might tell you the truth as to why. Now, four things. The first one, there's a way to spot a bitter root. The first one, ask yourself, am I replaying the tapes? Am I replaying the tapes? Do you find yourself constantly replaying the tapes of a conversation or a scenario or a situation? Are you constantly replaying the tapes when you think about that person? Can you not progress forward because of what has happened behind you? If you find yourself continually replaying the tapes, might be a root of bitterness there. If you or interacting with that individual, do you spend days rehashing every word or conversation or body language that took place? See, bitterness, it flourishes in the soil of justification, not the justification and sanctification, not that kind. But it's the justification of me trying to justify why I'm right and they're wrong. If you find yourself continually trying to justify why I'm right and they're wrong, you might have to take a deeper evaluation as to how you truly, truly feel. Because I found that when I fixate my interactions with specific folks or individuals that I struggle with, oftentimes I'm looking for justification for my anger. For my wrath, for my harsh words that I say. I'm looking for myself and somehow for God to be okay with me feeling the way that I feel. If I find myself replaying the tapes, I ought to see that as a red flag. But that's setting something off in my heart. Second thing, is my mouth untamed? Is my mouth untamed? Romans 3:14, it says this. It says, their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their mouth. Now, there's a connection between the stuff that comes out of our mouths and the bitterness that takes place in our heart. The Bible says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's why when folk say something or cuss somebody out or something comes out of their mouth and go, oh, well, I didn't mean to say that. I'm sure you didn't mean to say that. But there's something in you that is getting squeezed and is going to come out of you. If I squeeze an orange, lemon juice ain't coming out, right? There's orange juice that's going to come out because that is what is inside. And so when we are squeezed, an overflow of our heart comes out of our mouth. There is a connection between the two, the heart and the mouth. Now, when it comes to, is our mouth untamed? Do we find ourselves losing our cool often when it comes to that scenario? Are we very critical about it? The things that we say, we have to be honest that it is an extension of our heart. Third thing, and this is, like, I wanted to put this one in here because it's a legit thing. Am I sick? Romans 3:14. Yes, sir. Third point, am I sick? There's actually, like, scientific studies and scientists that have found, I was researching this, looking at it, it was crazy. Scientists have found that bitterness, if left unchecked, it interferes with the body's hormonal and immune system. Bitter people tend to have higher blood pressure, heart rate, and are much more likely to die of heart disease and other illnesses. This is scientific research that connects bitterness to death, actual physical death. That's how serious it is. Now, Paul, of course, he didn't have the scientific data, but he was able to hear from God, and he wrote this in Acts 8:23. What he did was he described the gall of bitterness. Acts 8:23, let's flip over there real quick. So Acts 8:23, it says, "For I see that you are in the gall of bitterness," in verse 4, "and in the bond of iniquity." And then he goes on to talk about Simon. But the gall of bitterness, the gall is this idea of bile, of something very, very bitter, distasteful, the gall of bitterness, a bitter substance that can literally make us sick. Paul says this gall of bitterness, it brings this distaste. It can literally make you sick. Here's the fourth thing. Is my tribe bitter? Is my tribe bitter? So for this, let's look at Deuteronomy 29, verse 18. Deuteronomy 29, 18, it says this. It says, "Beware lest there be among you a man or woman or clan or tribe whose heart is turning away today from the Lord our God, to go and serve the gods of those nations. Beware lest there be among you a root bearing poisonous and bitter fruit." So what he does here is he talks about the idea of a tribe, of a group, or even a family, that bitterness has the ability to affect not just you, but also those around you. So like weeds, bitterness, it has a way of spreading, and this passage describes that. It's the idea of a man affects his wife, and she can affect her children, and the bitterness spreads, and soon the whole tribe, the whole family is affected. If there's somebody in your life that you don't care for, I wouldn't be surprised if your kids knew it. I wouldn't be surprised if your kids even adopt that mindset towards that person, even though they don't even know them. Because they watch you, and they know how you respond. And it could even be a feeling towards God of something that we're bitter towards Him about, and there's a reservation that we have in our heart because we feel like God has let us down in something before, and we have a hard time completely trusting Him with everything because we feel like He let us down in something we felt was major, or some life event. We don't get it, so we develop this bitterness towards God. So the idea of the entire tribe, the folks that are around us, that bitterness can spread to those around us. Now, questions for us to ask ourselves, honest evaluations here. Is your marriage marked by bitterness? Is there bitterness there? There's stuff that could happen early in marriage at year three that for the next 30 years you are bitter over because of something that happened early on. Within marriage, are your children bitter? Are they adopting behaviors that you have? Are your children bitter? Does your group of friends tend to sit around and complain or gripe or jump on the bandwagon about the things that we push? Is your community, the folks you are around, prone to placing blame? Now, I put this down as well, and I wanted to talk about church culture in this area. And the question I put down is your church filled with harsh and angry people? Now, I don't see that to be the case at this church. I don't see that to be anywhere amongst this church. I see people who are joyous and glad to be here and happy. But my experience in church past has been I've seen a lot of bitterness amongst church. Because what happens is somebody did something that I didn't like, and either the preacher didn't come to my rescue or didn't defend me, or the preacher said something that I didn't like. And it's these roots of bitterness that get placed within us. And honestly, like, I mean, I'm a church boy. I grew up in the church. Like, that is the main place where I've seen bitterness. And that's sad, but it's true. That's the main place where I have seen it. I mean, when your dad has been voted or kicked out of four different churches, my view on church tends to be a little bit tainted. Right? It's a little twisted because of what I've seen in church. And so that's where we have to continually war against that, because there's going to be things even at Life Church that are done that, well, I didn't vote for that, you know. I didn't sign up for that, or I didn't agree to do that. But what is best for the body? And even if something isn't done my way or your way, what's best for the body? What is best for the advancement of the gospel? How are we sticking to the mission statement of loving God, loving people, and making disciples? That is my prayer as pastor, and Stephen's prayer as associate pastor, to make sure, and our leadership team, to make sure we are focused on that. We are focused on that in a Christ-centered biblical way. So with bitterness, is it possible that our bitterness can have a ripple effect? Absolutely, if possible. Because it can be poisonous. It's a poisonous root that can go deep into the depths of our heart. Now, here's some practical things for us, and then we're going to split up. When it comes to bitterness as pertains to people, one of the hardest things to do is to forgive somebody that didn't ask to be forgiven. That is hard. That's hard. Because it ain't got nothing to do with them. And they might still be in their mess, doing whatever they do, still being offensive, and still not even have a clue. But it's about getting my heart right. It's about God doing the work within me. I can't control you. I can only let the Holy Spirit work within me. That's all I can control. That's all you can control. And there are going to be folks, if you've never been offended by somebody or had to deal with bitterness, like, you keep living, there's going to be somebody who rubs you wrong. There's going to be somebody who you have the opportunity to be bitter towards. And I'm sure the people that I'm talking to now and the folks that will listen to this later, you have either experienced this or you are in it right now. To where you know this struggle of, God, I don't want to have this in my heart. I don't want to think about that person and find it hard to be able to rejoice with them. And that's another thing, is if I think about you and I can't celebrate with you, then something's going on in my heart. If the only thoughts I have towards you are, let me try to turn that thought off, because it's going to put me in an emotional state that I don't want to be in. We have to check that, and it's difficult. It's not easy, and that's why I said it's only something that God can give and do within us, because if you try to do that on your own, I'm pretty sure we have tried to, how successful have you been? Like, this is a work of the Holy Spirit within us. But here's one thing that we should do, and here's some application for us. is learn to be transparent with others and ask for help. And that goes to what I was saying earlier. Is there somebody in your life that you trust, be it a spouse, a friend, that you can be transparent with and say, listen, babe, when I think about this person, I struggle. It's hard for me not to think about them and just get angry and get upset. Like, I got to be honest with my wife or with my accountability partners and say, listen, I got to be honest. And I need some help because when I think about this, I get angry. I get bitter. I need some help. Here's something else that we learn in time as we walk in step with the Spirit. Is we learn to be quick to forgive. And this is something that God is gracious with us because, again, it's not easy to just go, okay, well, yes, I forgive you. Like, but in little things, like if we struggle with forgiveness, I believe this strongly that God will bring little ways in which we can practice forgiveness. Little ways. I know if you have kids, that's one way that you can continually practice the art of forgiveness, right? Every day, you can continually practice that. If it's small things, if you don't have kids, with interactions with other people, somebody cut you off or somebody did something or was rude or, you know, you were just whatever interactions you have amongst society, like finding ways to practice quick forgiveness, to go, listen, I forgive them. Like, I'm letting that go. I'm going to assume the best. I'm going to let that go. I'm going to leave it to Jesus, and I'm going to forgive. So little ways to practice how to quickly forgive. Because, again, it's not about the other person. This bitterness entraps us. It entraps you. It entraps me. That's who it affects, and that's who Satan wants to take down is us individually. And he knows the things that we have proclivities to stumbling over. He knows that, but God's grace is sufficient. And here's the last thing. Learn to accept your trials, and I do see this as a trial. Learn to accept your trials rather than curse them. How can you leverage that trial? How can you see it as an opportunity? My folks would say to shame the devil and bring God glory. How can you leverage that as an opportunity to glorify God? See it in that way. Call Satan out for what he is. Satan, I see you're trying to get me in sin. You're trying to deepen these roots of bitterness. I see exactly what you're trying to do, and I'm calling you out. I see it. And I'm going to let the Holy Spirit win because he's inside of me. I'm going to let him work in my life. And we're going to uproot these things. I'm going to call it out for what it is. Because here's the thing. When you think about bitterness, you think about the emotions of anger and wrath and malice and harsh words. Let me think of somebody that had a real legitimate reason to feel that way. How about Jesus? How about being betrayed by one of your own guys? Saying, hey, I'll take some money and I'll actually point him out. I'll actually go kiss him on the cheek. And we were going to present him to the government to be killed. That was your boy. And he sold you out for some silver. Your own people rejected you. Folks said, hey, you're not divine. You're not who you say you are. And the folks that he had healed, he had set free, he had delivered, he had fed are the ones that are yelling, crucify him. That's some good reason to be bitter right there. Jesus walking across, man, I can't stand these people, man. I'm sick of all y'all. He could have, but he didn't. Paul says he went as a lamb before for the slaughter. He didn't say a mumbling word. He had reason to, but he knew there was going to come a moment in your life and my life to where I'm trying to teach them of how to look like me, and they are image bearers of me, so I'm going to exemplify what it looks like to have a reason to be bitter, but not be. I'm going to show you what it looks like, and he's the one that we are focused on, the one that we want to imitate, the one that we want to be like, And praise God for folks that he puts in our life that are better in certain areas of our life. But at some point, those people will let you down too. Have folks around you, certainly that are different levels of you that you can take encouragement from for sure. But ultimately, all your hope and trust is placed in the sovereignty of Jesus and his lordship. Because he exemplified it. He lived it. And he gives us scripture on how to overcome it. Because he knows it's serious, and he knows it can destroy you. He knows it can limit your freedom. It keeps us in trap. We can be enslaved to it. And it's not that I'm sitting here saying, hey, it's not hard. Like, you might have reason to feel that way, to feel bitter, to feel angry. I mean, I get it. I do. But my feelings have to be subjected to what the Spirit says and how he instructs me to live. Because I can't be led by my emotions. I cannot. But I got to be led by the Spirit. So that's just some instruction for us. What we're going to do is we're going to split up. And I got some questions for you guys. And, I would ask to be, this is one of those moments where you can be transparent. And be transparent as much as you feel comfortable. But I think there's going to be some great healing that takes place here tonight as a result of the word and a result of the small group time. Because again, if it's something you've never experienced, at some point you will have an opportunity to experience that. And many of you have been in situations that I can't even imagine, things that were done to you that it was ungodly, that I can't even fathom having to go through something like that. But God is not distant to where he doesn't know or he doesn't care. He intimately knows you and he cares. And he wants you to be healed and walk in freedom because that's a part of your testimony. God's going to use that for his glory. So what we're going to do is we got some small group leaders, some of which I asked to do this, and they volunteered so graciously, and I'm thankful for it. So we got Mr. Les, he's one of our small group leaders, Ms. Gail, Courtney, and Cole. So what we'll do is we'll get into groups of 4 to 5, and they're going to lead us through some questions and through some group time. So let me pray, and then again, groups of 4 to 5, you guys just split up around the room, and we'll do that. Father, thank you for the word tonight. God, thank you that you, God, you want us to have freedom in this area, Lord. And God, just help us, Lord. It is not easy. It is a work that the Holy Spirit has to continually do within us. It's not something that is just even a one and done, but we have to be on guard and allow the Holy Spirit to guard our hearts and to protect us and to shield us and to help us to look more like Jesus in this area. So, Father, we thank you for it tonight. Bless this group time. In your name we pray. Amen.